Greetings again to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 271, and we were sort of cut off in the middle of the subject here. Last time, we're going to continue from this point in Isaiah 66, talking about the clean and unclean, the attitudes of people, and how God feels about them, and what God is going to do with this kind of people. And all of us who may find ourselves in this category, those who are listening, you see, if we are in this category, well, let's pay attention, because God is speaking to every single one of us, and we can justify it all we want. You know, if we are contrary to this knowledge and understanding, we're going to give an answer when we stand before the, you know, the sin or the throne of Christ. When He brings us to judgment, He said He's going to say to every single one of us that we have committed all these abominations in His sight. And when He called, none did answer, and when He spoke, none did hear. But we did evil before His eyes, and we chose that which He delighted not in. You see? So we're not going to have an excuse at that point. Let's not play games. We're not dealing with the words of men. We're dealing with the words of God. Now, this is speaking about the end time, what God is going to do at the end time when He's coming, when Jesus Christ appears as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer. And He's going to not only deliver at that time, it's not only the hour of redemption and deliverance and salvation, it's also the hour of destruction on the many. Or the rebellious among, you know, the people who hate the law of God. And they've got their own concepts of what is true and what is not the ways of God. And so here we read in verse 15 again, "For lo, behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind to render His anger with fury." That's how angry He is. "And His rebuke with flames of fire." You're not going to be, you know, playing games with people. And people are not going to be playing games anymore at that point. They're going to be terrorized. And they would know that they were rebellious. And they would know that they hated His law. And they had contempt for it. And what are they going to say when they stand before Him in person? You see? Let's not be in that state of mind at that point. See? We've got to do it before it's too late. And so, verse 16, "For by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh," the entirety of humanity, "who have been given the laws of God from the Garden of Eden and have rejected it." And especially the ones that call themselves the people of God. Be it there, you know, in the so-called Christianity or Judaism. God is not a respecter of persons, or, you know, in the world of Islam. He says He's going to plead with everyone. And because of that, He says, "And the slain of the Lord shall be many." Do we, you know, we do not want to be in that statistics, one of the many. Verse 17. So now He's explaining, you know, what kind of people, among others, that He's going to destroy by His sword. "They that sanctify themselves." God didn't sanctify them. They call themselves holy, righteous, by their own ways, their own concepts and teachings. "And they purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh," ham, pork, Easter, bacon, you know, the man that brings the bacon. A man of God never even comes up with this kind of an idiom, you know, to bring the bacon. What do you mean, bring the bacon? No, you know, you can eat bacon made of turkey, you see, or they make it also of cows, you see. But that's not what they mean by that one. You know, they talk about bringing the bacon. They're talking about pork, ham. And these people, you know, they go to church. And these people claim to be Christians. And these people, you know, they get on their knees and pray to God. And they don't realize what God feels about them all this time. They eat swine's flesh. These are among the people who are going to be destroyed unless they repent. And so they eat swine's flesh and the abomination. What is the abomination? God made it very plain. Everything that is not clean. And you go to Leviticus 11 as we are beginning this portion of the law. And Deuteronomy 14 talks about that. God tells us what is an abomination in His sight and what is not. We don't decide that. "And the mouse shall be consumed." You know, all those who eat, you know, swine's flesh, abomination, anything that is unclean. "And the mouse," you know, Chinese eat mice and other nations. They eat mice. and snakes and all kind of things like that. God says they are going to be consumed because they are defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit, or the temple of the Spirit that He put in them. He says they shall be consumed together, says the Lord. That is, unless they repent. For I know their works and their thoughts. And that's what God is going to do with all of them. Nobody's going to hide. Not even in the grave people can hide. Because God is going to bring them back to life and judge them. So let's not kid ourselves. Some people that call themselves Christians in their ignorance, you know, they go to the so-called the New Testament, the book of Acts chapter 10, they say, well, you know, Peter, you know, had that vision, you can kill, and all those unclean things. And Peter says, no. And notice the reaction of Peter when he thought that this is what God was saying, rise and kill animals, beasts, you see, unclean animals. And he said, no way, God, I'm not going to eat it. See what I mean? Because you know the law of God. How many people act like that? He said, no. I haven't eaten like that, you know, from my youth. That's unclean. And so God said, you know, the spreads that eating. They can go through that book. I don't need to necessarily go through that now. Many people know it. And he tells them, basically, not only Peter, but all those that heard it, and all those who later on followed the teachings of Peter and are following all the others. He tells all of us the same. That story there. And he makes it very plain, and we should read it. Maybe we should look at it now, just a couple of verses there. We can just read the point, you know, when Peter came to Cornelius, and Cornelius, you know, being a Gentile, does not know the law of God as he should. He's a righteous man, but he's not fully aware of it. And so verse 25 we read, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. That's contrary to the law of God, but, you know, he, being a Gentile, didn't know everything, and he was, you know, trying to show humbleness, humility, and all that. But God is not interested in people worshiping people, even though they're maybe sincere. And verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up! I myself also am a man." A lot of people, you know, they bow down before the bishop and the cardinal, the kisser ring, and all that. Those are idol worshippers. They don't realize that. Oh, they think they're sincere, and they are. But it doesn't mean anything to God, sincerity, if it is not in righteousness. You know, a lot of people who are sincere walk into a minefield. So what? They blow up anyway. And so Peter says to him, "Stand up, for I'm a male and also a man." In other words, worship God, not me. And you see John, you know, in the book of Revelation, doing the same. He got so overwhelmed and impressed by what the angel was showing him that he, you know, bowed down and began to worship the angel. And the angel says, "Stand up." You know, don't you dare do that, in essence. You know, you worship God. You don't worship an angel. You don't worship man. That's contrary to the law of God. Only Him you worship. And so as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And they were all sincere, nice people, all Gentiles. And he said unto them, now he's explaining another vision. "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation." That was contrary to the law of God. Don't mix, you know, with the Gentiles, with the unclean. You know, the people that eat swine and pork and lobster and all kind of unclean things and living a moral life. That's contrary to the law of God. He's not talking about Jewish tradition. He's talking about the law of God. He's the one that forbade His people, being a holy people, from mixing themselves among the nations. And that's what He's saying. Some people in their ignorance, they think, well, He's talking about Judaism, you know, Jewish tradition, the rabbinic teachings. He's not. And so he says, you know that it is unlawful, against the law, against the Torah. You see, that's what he's saying here. For a man, that is a Jew, to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So that's the vision. This is what it was all about. He's not talking about animals, unclean animals, that it's now okay. Some people say, well, Peter said in the New Testament that it's okay not to eat unclean animals. He was not saying that. That's a willful lie that once upon a time began to be spread in the world called Christianity, and people just believe it. They don't check on this lie. Peter never said that. Peter made it very plain what that vision was all about. It was about people. God was not about to call Gentiles who were called unclean. And therefore, He portrayed them as animals, beasts, you know, ferocious beasts, because that's the way they were behaving. And God tells him, basically, from now on, you know, I want you to begin to do a little work also among the Gentiles, even though they act like animals. You know, we're going to make human beings out of them, so to speak. And that's what he's saying there. God told me, you know, don't call any man unclean, you see. And therefore, you can go and eat with them and fellowship with them and give them the truth. And that's all there was there. And yet people, in their ignorance, that's what they say. Well, he was talking about unclean animal. God never changed his law. There has never been a change in the law of God. Christ made it very plain. Until heaven and earth shall pass, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah. And that's what Peter said, no, Lord, I'm not going to eat it. And so it was the attitude of all the servants of God throughout time. We see another example with the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 4 of Ezekiel, when God told him in verse 1, and you also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you and portray on it a city, that is Jerusalem. And in essence, he asked him to enact the coming siege and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And he was to do it also for the house of Israel. Obviously, the house of Israel by now has already gone into captivity. But he told him also about the house of Israel, lie also on your left, in verse 4, on your left side, that is, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. So in essence, he's enacting here not only the destruction of Judah and Israel. You see, well, Israel is already gone, but he's talking obviously about the future punishment that God is going to bring upon them, and also the redemption, and also the iniquities that he himself is going to take away from them, taking them upon himself later on as he came on the cross. And then Ezekiel is performing that, and God tells him also that while he goes through that period of time, that he should eat certain things. In verse 9, he says, also take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt, put them into one vessel, and make bread of them for yourself. That's called the Ezekiel bread. You can go to the store nowadays and buy the Ezekiel bread made exactly of these ingredients. And he said, that's going to be your food. And so he tells him also the amount of water that he's going to drink every day. And this is what he tells him and how he tells him to cook it also. And verse 12, and you shall eat it. That is, all this bread that he's making here, you shall eat it as barley cakes and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight. Now, this is an unclean thing, human waste, you see. And it's not even one of the animals or the creatures that God said not to eat, but still, it's an unclean thing. And obviously, that's people never do that. There are people, a lot of people, in many parts of the world, especially in ancient times, and some still, you know, do it to this very day in the Middle East, where they use dung of camels, you know, the pouch, and they keep it that way when it comes out, and they dry it, and they use it for fuel. Or cow's dung, or things like that, but, you know, the thought about human waste, obviously you can imagine how Ezekiel felt about it. And so, you know, this is you might think, this is the prophet of God, and he's obedient to God, he's a righteous man, God told him to do it, all he has to do is, yes, sir, you know, thy will be done. Well, you see, exactly as in the case of Peter, when God told him, and he thought that he understood what God was saying at that point, you know, rise and kill, he was thinking about the wild animals, and God at that point was not talking about animals at all, he was talking about the symbolic representation of the animals, which is the Gentiles, men, you see. And even at that point, you know, based on his understanding of the time, of course he misunderstood God, he said, not so, my Lord. See, that's unclean, I'm not going to eat it. Imagine that. Well, that was in a vision, that was in a moment of a trance where he was, you know, he was not even fully awake at that point. But he was arguing with God, that's unclean, that's contrary to your law, I'm not going to eat it. You see? Because it's very revolting to a person that has been raised all of his life to even think about eating an unclean animal. You see, people that have not been raised that way, you know, it's no big deal for them to do it. You know, they even love it, pay a lot of money for it. But people that have been raised on righteousness find it a horrible experience, a nauseating experience to commit, you know, certain sins. You know, there are certain ones that all human, you know, beings are doing, but there are certain sins, you know, that human beings that have been brought on righteousness, they cannot bring themselves emotionally, psychologically, in every way to transgress that law. And the clean and unclean, you know, that became in their own minds and hearts is a horribly abominable thing. You see, just like a lot of people say, nah, you never, you know, catch me eat a mouse, you know, a rat or a snake, you see. That's not difficult to understand that. And when they develop that attitude, you know, toward unclean animals, well, that's exactly the same feeling that they had also. And so even when God, we have an example there, when he's asking one of his servants to rise and kill, he says no. Imagine that, saying no to God. And here it is, Ezekiel. When God is telling him about, he's not asking him, you know, to kill any unclean animal, but he's asking him to use, you know, the bread and eat it, that is, bake it with using, you know, the human dung as fuel. Well, this is his reaction. Verse 13. Then the Lord said, you know, after he told him to cook it with human waste, then the Lord said, so shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread. That was the intent among the Gentiles, where I will drive them. And he's speaking about the house of Judah that is going to drive, since, you know, the people of Israel are already out there. But even though the people of Israel were taken to exile, into captivity, still God was continuing to disperse them among the nations. So the captivity was not over. You see? And when you study the history of the people of Israel, especially when you know who they are, you know, the lost tribes of Israel, you study their history in the Scythian Empire and the Parthian Empire and all the many places where they went, you know, a long time ago, many of them ended up in the British Isles. Before that, in Spain, they went through actually a series of captivities, not only one, and generally one that misbehaved very badly in many places, even though they would have a period of peace. You know, sometimes it could be many years, a century, two, three, whatever. But when they got pretty bad, again, they had another captivity. God allowed other people around to come and conquer them or torment them. And so that was not over yet. And, you know, when you understand that, then you can comprehend the scriptures even better. Even though they were already taken, you know, into captivity from the land of Israel, that was not the end of their captivity. And so this is what God is saying. This is just a sample for them. Even though Israel is already gone, only Judah is there. You see, but he's enacting that for them, whether they are there or you know, with Ezekiel or not, it's neither here nor there. You see, this is what God is enacting through one of his prophets, and obviously the people of Judah were there, and so they saw that what he was doing, because he said, you do it in, you know, in their sight, which he did. And, well, this was the reaction of Ezekiel, verse 14. So I said, ah, Lord God, indeed, I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts. See, all these things were contrary to the law. They too became unclean to the people of God who were supposed to be holy. He said, I've never done that. Nor has abominable flesh, unclean that is, ever come into my mouth. You see, I've never done any of those things. Why are you asking me to do this? And so, in essence, he's protesting, you see, to God. And in verse 15, we read the reaction of God. Then he said to me, see, I'm giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it. And, you know, that's a little bit easier to bear, cow's dung, than human waste. And you can see, you know, the grace and the mercy of God, even though he gives the command. You see, just like earlier we mentioned about Aaron, even though that was a command from God to do it, God is also a God of grace, not only a God of justice and of judgment. You see, he's a God of mercy too. Grace has always been there for the people that walked with God and that served God, who had, you know, had a heart that was right. And as it is, even the children of Israel, with all their wickedness, you know, when they turn away from their evil deeds and cry to God, as you read in the book of Judges, many times they've done it. And many times they rebelled against him, and many times, you know, they cried to him again, and he showed grace to them. He forgave them their sins, and he delivered them. He sent them, you know, a judge, a deliverer, whatever it may be. But you see the attitude that was developed because of the teaching of the law from the beginning of time by the people of God. They would not even conceive of eating unclean food. And yet the children of Israel, when they rejected God, they began to eat unclean food. You know, first they rejected the clean food, the clean spiritual truth, and began to absorb, vomit, as God would call it, their own teachings, mixed with the truth. And after that, they began to eat also unclean food. Now, when you study all again, the history of the children of Israel, you realize in many places, the children of Israel, for many, many centuries to come, would not eat pork. You see, and they would not eat unclean food. In other words, many of them still kept those things that they've been raised with for many, many, many centuries, you see. And, of course, many of them gradually, when they mingled with the Gentiles, they followed their ways all the way. And so, you see the attitude on the part of the people of God when they worship God, they realized that it's not just a matter of the unclean food. It's the very thought, it's the attitude that was planted in them by God Himself toward anything that is unclean. And there were many categories. It's not only the food that was unclean, There were other categories, an animal that died of itself, torn to pieces, things like that. And he said, you give it to, the torn to pieces, or a case like that, you give it to the foreigner, but you yourself don't eat it because you are a holy people. And that law has never changed. It has never changed from the days of Moses to this very day. And that's why Peter, still, it's not because of his background being a Jew, he still feels that way. And it is made very plain. This is the law of God. And to begin with, God did not even ask him to kill an animal, that is an unclean animal. It was symbolic. The vision that he saw there of the wild animals was just symbolic of the nations, of the peoples, of the Gentiles that now God was going to tame, at least the few that he was going to call. He was not calling the nations. Some people think, the door to the Gentiles is open, and they don't understand what it means. It's open to the few that God is grafting among his people. That's all it is. God never opened the door for all the Gentiles, no more than he opened the door for all of his own people, Israel. You see? It was not the time to call all of them. It was the time to call the few. Even though many are called, still there were the few in comparison to the entirety of the people of Israel. And even among those, only very few were chosen. And so God impressed it on their minds and hearts, from the time they came out of Egypt. Not that they didn't know those things before that, but he just, because they went through a period of ignorance and blindness and idolatry, you see, they lost an awful lot of information, so that God was just going to lay down the rule all over again for them, codifying a law that has been there all along from the Garden of Eden. And that's why Noah knew all about it. And so let's go back now to Leviticus 11. And read again from the beginning. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, both of them, you see, because Aaron had to be careful and his sons had to be careful that no Israelite, no matter how sincere and dedicated and devout, bring an animal that is unclean, you see. So both of them had to be in charge of that and be mindful of that. And later on, when Moses was no more, the priesthood continued, and they told the people. Obviously, if they saw anybody bringing something that is unclean, even an animal that was a clean animal, if it had spots and blemishes, became unclean. You see, for sacrifices. But Aaron had to be very mindful of that. So God is speaking to both of them, not just to Moses, saying unto them. So it's not a Mosaic law, it's not Aaronic law. You see, this is the law of God. And this is Jesus Christ speaking to them. So you might say, this is a Christian doctrine. It's a Christian teaching, Christian principle. And that's why God, as he comes down later on, as a King of Kings, as a supreme being, as a divine being, no longer like the carpenter that he came before that, flesh and blood, and man, humble man, you see, he's going to tell people, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You call yourself Christians, followers of Christ. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you do not do what I say. And this is one of the areas where they have defiled themselves, and they still do. And in their ignorance, because they've been deceived by their false prophets, you see, they think that it's actually a good thing, a holy thing, a righteous thing, pleasing thing in the sight of God to buy ham and put it on the table on Easter or Christmas or whatever, any day, and actually ask God to bless it. Imagine how far you know, people went. You can imagine how God feels about it. You can imagine how would you feel about it if you went to somebody, no matter how nice and sincere and good, whatever, and they put a plate in front of you full of dung, human waste. You know, with all due respect, you know, you'll puke and run out of that place. And some people don't realize how God feels about them when they do those kind of things. That's why he said, you know, you have defiled yourself. And on top of that, they have the audacity, of course, most of them are ignorant, to even ask God to participate in that meal. And so the Lord is speaking to Moses and Aaron, and he said, speak unto the children of Israel, saying. And what they spoke at that time, which was the first time they spoke, became, you know, a written word later on. So here was the oral law. You see, the 10 oracles that God gave to his people were the oral law until they were written. Now they became the written law. And then there were many other instructions that were never written, and they remained as the oral law. And that's what the Jews preserved. Not in a pure fashion, unfortunately. But that's, you know, what the Jews preserved as the oral law, and that is called the Mishnah later on. They decided to put it all together and write it down. You see, the knowledge that was there in the temple among the priesthood, among the people of Israel, and that's how the Mishnah came about. And then the Talmud came later on, basically making comments about it and about the entirety of the Torah and some of the prophets. And unfortunately, you know, they injected their own teachings and their own thoughts and concepts, and that's what the problem is. That defiles the truth of God, and that makes it, from the point of view of God, vomit. But nevertheless, we should always remember, regardless of what people do with the truth remains the truth. What they inject into it, in other words, the chaff is the chaff, and the wheat is the wheat. So I have to learn and to discern by studying the Torah of God and the law of God and the prophets and the teachings of Jesus Christ and of his disciples, which were all from the same source, ultimately the Father. We have to discern, when we study those things anywhere, the difference between the wheat and the chaff, the holy and the profane, and not throw the whole thing out, you know, and develop a contempt for it just because some people, you know, mixed it with wrong attitudes or thoughts or whatever it may be, or pieces of information. So we have to learn to do that. You know, mature people ought to be able to do that, to discern the difference between the holy and the profane. And that, in essence, is the purpose of the ministry, to teach people, you know, as they study whatever they study, to learn the difference between the holy and profane, and the only way they can do it for them is by teaching them the law of God. And that's the problem with the majority, the overwhelming majority of the prophets of Israel, including in Judaism. Instead of teaching the law of God, they're teaching their own rabbinic, you know, teachings, you know, that have, you know, a little bit, or some, to whatever degree, all the law of God and the prophets, and much of it has to do with their own concepts and ideas that may be right or may be wrong. Now, this is not the way to feed people with the truth of God. You know, that doesn't make a true prophet, that makes a false prophet, because he's going to inject vomit. And so he's giving instructions to his bride, to his wife, to his holy people, through the prophet, you know, Moses, and through Aaron. And says, you say to the children of Israel, these are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. You don't make up your mind what is right, what is wrong. I'll tell you what is right, what is wrong. You have no prerogative to do that. The only prerogative that God gave man is the choice, either to obey it or to reject it. And yet people want to invent their own teachings, and they claim that it is from God, and they teach it to others, you know, they make others eat it. And that's vomit in the sight of God. Unless you, you know, pick up the law of God itself and read from it, you see, we have no business feeding people. Verse 3, whatsoever parts the hoof, and is wholly cloven footed, and chewed the cud among the beasts, that you may eat, nevertheless, this shall you not eat of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only part the hoof. And he gave an example, the camel, the first one he gave, the camel. And it's interesting, when you go to some other of the children of Abraham, known as Arabs today, you see, not that all Arabs are children of Abraham, but many of them are, and obviously they are into the religion of Islam. Well, they used to be pagans for a long time, just like the children of Israel oftentimes were pagans you know, heathens, idol worshippers. And once upon a time, their father Ishmael was a righteous man. Why? Because he was taught by Abraham, his father, the law of God. And he walked in it. And he kept the Sabbath. And he kept whatever Abraham kept. That's the way he raised him. You see? But as time went by, just like with the children of Jacob, as time went by, you know, they went into idolatry. And the thing is that God didn't send prophets, didn't deal with Ishmael or Esau, the other son of Isaac, besides Jacob. But he dealt with Israel, and he made Israel his people. He chose them of all the families of the earth. He hasn't chosen the others. And so the others were without knowledge and understanding. Now, unless they went back to their relatives, you know, the children of Israel, to learn the ways of God, and some of them actually did. You see, some of them actually did. They went back there, and we have, you know, instances, even in the Bible, of people that were Arabs, you know, the children of Ishmael, and they married, or Edomites, and they married the children of Israel, and they too, you know, became followers of the law of God, you know, the law of their fathers. But the majority did not. And so here comes Muhammad, and he's trying to bring them back to the faith of the father, Abraham, you see, but instead of the problem with him, you know, he never read a book because, you know, apparently he didn't know how to read. And, you know, by his own admission, when he studied the Quran, you see that. He claimed, you know, to be an unlettered prophet. He never read a book in his life, and yet he wrote the Quran. How did he do it? God knows. Or as they say in the Middle East, Allah knows. But he was telling them, apparently he didn't get his information straight from the Jews. And the Christians that he was fellowshipping with, you see, he was influenced very much by both because he was a merchant and he traveled with the caravans. But he told his people, and who knows, maybe that was a custom, therefore he could not win his people away from that, to eat the camel. As a matter of fact, he said, when you go to the pilgrimage to Mecca, you bring all those camels with you, and if you ever see anything about Mecca, you know, the pilgrimage, actually show. You know, those people bring, you know, those camels and they put them in line and they position them in a long, long line. At a certain point, they butcher them right there on the spot. And even describes the way it is. He said, you know, you butcher them right there, and as they fall down to the ground, you know, eat their flesh. And he said, that's sacred in the sight of God. Well, God said, no, that's an abomination. You see, when people inject truth and error, their religion becomes an abomination. That's how God regards any religion, including the religion of his own people. When they mix it with vomit, with lies, with deceptions. And so the first thing he said, don't eat, is a camel. Why? Because he chews the cud but parts not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. You see, that's the law of God for any human being on the face of the earth. God is not interested in any man's opinion, you know, any man's invention of their own religion. They can claim all they want, it's from God. No lies of the truth. Verse 5. And the rock badger, because he chewed the cud, but parts not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. God didn't leave them, you know, any room for a mistake there, you know, to guess which one is good, which one is not. He told them in detail, every single one of them. At least all the animals that they came in contact with, you see, didn't talk about elephants because, you know, there were no elephants around and, you know, other animals. But the thing is, he gave them an instruction that they would be able to gauge, you know, by that whether any creature is clean or unclean. And so he said, that will be unclean unto you. Verse 6, and the hare, because she chews the cud, but parts not the hoof. You know, people eat rabbits. God says, you don't eat them. He is unclean unto you. And the swine, you know, people call pork, ham, you know, bring home the bacon. The swine, because he parts the hoof, and is cloven-footed, but chews not the cud. He is unclean unto you. That was an animal that a lot of people used to grow. And generally in the borders of Israel, you did not see pigs or swine, whatever they call them. People didn't raise them if they were people of God. And other Gentiles, when they lived among them, moved over, you know, clean, you know, moved into that land. They, you know, they were raising swine. And you see Jesus Christ's attitude toward that. Not that he has anything against the swine. You see, after all, he created the swine. He created the pig. You know, it's a cute little animal. But you don't eat them. Just like you don't eat your dog and you don't eat your cat. You see, they're your pets. And, you know, you can have all the fun you want with them, but you don't eat them. God says, don't eat them, you know. And with the swine, when you realize what a swine is all about and the way they eliminate, you know, from their legs, you know, they're filthy animals. with a lot of germs and who knows what else there, and yet people eat it. Of course, they clean it first. But there was a time when people didn't clean it. They got a lot of worms in their body because of that. In either case, God says it's unclean. And you can see the attitude of Jesus Christ, as we mentioned, when at one point he saw a man that was full of demons, and he cast the demons. He was going to cast the demons out, and they pleaded with him. You know, that was a legion of demons. And one man, I believe the one that was in the cemetery, and they pleaded with him, you know, let us, you know, get into the herd of swine, because there were Gentiles in that area, and they were raising swine. And Jesus, you know, gave them the freedom to go and do it. Well, they all got into the swine, and guess what they did? They all ran over the cliff and jumped into the lake. You know, just like you said, go jump into the lake. That's exactly what they did. And maybe that's how, you know, people came up with this idiom, you know, go jump in the lake. They all jumped and all, you know, sunk, you know, and they drowned. That was the end of those swine. I don't think that Christ would have done it had there been a flock of sheep, clean animals. But there were swine. And he was making a point there. Swine don't belong in the, you know, belong in the land of Israel. You see, in other words, not because they're horrible animals, but because people were raising them to eat them. You know, if they were just raising them for something else, it would have been a different story, but they were actually eating them. And that's why he also said, in terms of the truth, you see, just like as he told Peter, you know, about that vision, the animals represent the nations, the Gentiles, the pagans, the heathen. He told his disciples, do not give your pearls to the swine. He was not talking about an animal. Nobody gives a pearl to an animal. He's talking about human beings, the nations, the Gentiles. Don't give it to them. You see? Unless God is calling them. Because they have no capacity to appreciate anything of the truth. You see? They are so deeply into their, you know, darkness that God said, don't waste your time on them. But he said, go to the lost house of Israel, you see. And they are the ones that he should deal with, generally speaking. But also, if there are Gentiles that God is calling in any area where the Israelites are, well, then too, when God does that, don't call, you know, in that, you know, case, don't call them unclean. So you can see the difference there. A swine can become a sheep, so to speak, when God cleanses that animal. And, you know, of course, that's a spiritual thing there. But, you know, all that comes from these teachings that God gave from the Garden of Eden. So the swine is unclean. Don't eat it. And people eat it. And bring it before God. And to this very day. And they supposedly go to the New Testament and say, well, you know, Peter said it's okay. That means, you know, we're New Testament people. We don't go with the Old Testament. We know it's an Old Testament. Israel is not allowed to eat it, so it's okay for them. That's their problem. We don't have to worry about that. God told us through Peter, it's okay. God never said that. You see, that's where the problem is. People don't check on the false prophets. To begin with, they don't think of them as false prophets. How many people check on their minister, on their priest? You know? Children of Israel who did not do that, they followed false prophets. But those that did, they opened the book of the law to see whether they are lying or not, and God commanded them to do so. Prove all things. He said also to his disciples, Jesus Christ, and the Paul, you know, said that, and others said that. Prove all things. Don't take any man's, you know, word for granted. Check on them. You see? You go out to buy anything, you know, expensive, you go into the market and you check out things to see, you know, whether what you are getting is real, is good, you know. And so people do things like that for physical things, but for the things that are most important that enter into their minds, they don't check them. They just swallow them. They just eat them. Without thinking, like little children, you know, anything they see inside, they put in their mouth. These are wise. These are not mature people. These are not wise. Verse 9. So God tells them, don't touch those things. Verse 8, he said, all their flesh you shall not eat. Don't eat it. And their carcasses you shall not touch. Don't even touch their bodies. You see? Not only don't eat them, don't even touch them. Speaking about their carcasses, that is, you know, when their bodies, don't touch them because you're holy people. And so, you know, if you don't raise them, you don't touch them. They're not around. And he says, they are unclean unto you. This may you eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them may you eat. So I gave them an instruction to look for certain things in a fish, and if it is there, eat it. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all them that swarm in the waters, and of all the living creatures that are in the waters, they are detestable thing unto you. That's the way God wanted them to feel about it. He did not even say unclean. He said they are detestable. Shekets in Hebrew. And that's the reason why the Jews developed that terminology where they call the Gentiles shegets. You know, if you ever heard about it, shegets. You see? Shekets. That's what it means. Detestable. Because that's the way God regarded the Gentiles who were walking in their own darkness and were unclean and eating unclean things. And that's the reason why, you know, the Jews in the days of Jesus Christ, you know, developed that attitude toward the Samaritans. They called them dogs. You see? And Samaritans should not have been treated that way, even though they were not as righteous as they should have been. They were not walking the law of God as they should have been, because there were some perversions in the law that they were walking in. Yet, still, the Samaritans were not eating swine, and they were not eating unclean things, because, you know, they basically more or less followed the law of Moses, even though they had you know, a few minor changes there. But, you know, the Jews developed that attitude. Anybody who is not an Israelite, you know, bona fide Israelite, is an unclean thing, you know, swine and dogs. And you can see even Jesus Christ, you know, saying about people, you know, don't give your pearls to the swine. Or he told the Syrophoenician woman, you know, it's not fit for me to give the food, you know, that is supposed to go to the children, to give it to the dogs. You see? And that was the terminology that was used, among others, for the non-Israelites. And so, God says to them, these are detestable things. Don't touch them. Verse 11, and there shall be a detestable thing unto you. That's the way you should regard it in every way. And so they develop that attitude, and that's why when Peter or Ezekiel or others are asked, you know, by God to do that, he says, no way. Hey, that's unclean. You know, I cannot emotionally, I cannot even do that. You see? And obviously, God dealt with it fine, as it was proper at the time. With Peter, to begin with, it was not an issue of an animal, but even with the Gentiles, they had those kind of feelings, and Peter had to overcome that feeling. And you can see how difficult it was for the Jews when they heard about it to accept that, to swallow that, that they were always open now to the Gentiles and have to deal with them. And that, you know, created a problem for many, many, many years to come. For the Jews, it was a difficult thing for them to overcome. Because of many, many centuries of upbringing, you know, and thinking a certain way. And so God says in verse 12, whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that is detestable thing unto you. And so people go to fancy restaurants, expensive restaurants, and they pull that lobster live. You see, and they have the hot water, and while it is live, they dump it in the hot water. How would you like to be treated like that? You know, the height of cruelty? And think it's great, it's wonderful. You see? Something, you know, that is horrible. Detestable. That's what the children of Israel are all about. A lot of the people of Judah are also doing the same. They couldn't care less about their own law. Well, were they no better? You see, and God says, you're defiled, you're polluted. And yet they come around, you know, and many of them, you know, that eat lobster, they go on the Sabbath to the synagogue. And those who are the children of Israel, of course, they don't know they are. They think they're Gentiles. They go to churches on Sunday, which is not the day of the Lord. You know, it's a defiled day as far as it's concerned in that sense. It's an, you know, a profane day, it's called. You know, all the Sabbath is called a holy day, and all the rest of the days of the week are called profane, you see, because they're not holy. And they eat, you know, all these detestable things. You know, they come probably, you know, maybe eating lobster or ham or whatever it may be, and they go to, you know, the church on Sunday, and they appear before God totally defiled, polluted, contaminated from his point of view, full of vomit as far as he's concerned, and they think they're the people of God. You see? Yes, they're the people of God physically, but spiritually are they? You see? God is not a God that is mocked. You cannot have contempt for his law, defile his law, profane his law, and come before him as if, you know, you smell it like a rose. One of these days, their eyes are going to be open, and God is going to make them understand that, and as it says in Ezekiel, you're going to realize that, and your eyes shall be open, and you're going to loathe yourself for all the abominations that you have done and committed in my sight. all this time. At this point, you know, they still are full of poison and malice and darkness toward the law of God, and think, well, that's Jewish stuff. They say, Mosaic, Old Testament law, we are New Testament. How blind and ignorant and naked and poor and wretched and miserable they are, and they think that they are rich and increase in goods, and they go around, they want to convert the Jews, you know, and teach the Jews to eat pork and lobster and all the unclean things, and believe in all the lies that they believe in, and forsake the Sabbath and keep Sunday instead. What an irony, what a, you know, twist of, you know, twisted minds they have, and they don't even realize that. That's the reason why God is going to bring a horrible, you know, if people think that they've had a horrible time in the Second World War, that's nothing in comparison. God is going to bring the super Holocaust upon all the nations of Israel, which most of them today think that they are Gentiles, and again, also upon the whole earth. That's why, as we read in Isaiah, when he talked about all those people that ate the unclean thing, he's coming with a sword, with great fury, and he's going to pour his wrath on all of humanity, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. You see? Not few. Because the many are doing it. That's what Christ was saying to his disciples. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.